It's Wednesday afternoon, time for Money Trends with Metairie Bank, and Paul Myers, North Shore Market President from Metairie Bank, joins us on WWL. Paul, welcome to the show. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scoot. How are you doing?
I'm good. Let's talk for a moment about Elon Musk buying Twitter. What does this really mean to the economy and to Twitter users?
You know, it's interesting. There's been a lot of back and forth with respect to, well, one, as far as the economy, I don't think that it has any extreme direct impact on the economy. I think a lot of people are up in arms with respect to the concern of what he's going to do and the changes that he's going to bring to Twitter. But there's so much speculation and so much concern, I don't really know if it's even worth it. I mean, the way that I look at Elon, at somebody like an Elon Musk, you know, of course, Elon calls me and tries to get my opinion on many things that he does.
Well, it's only because he couldn't get through to me.
Well, that's true. It is difficult to get through your call lines. Okay?
So he called you. That's right.
He called me. But, you know, he's looking at it from the standpoint of I think he has concerns with the way that some of the algorithms identify commentary and things. You know, the fact that it's very, very difficult. Think of it this way. How difficult would it be to get some of the greatest thinkers in the world in our history, Plato, Socrates, Confucius, to get them to be able to give us great information in 240 characters, including spaces? So, you know, he's looking at these things, and look, he's been tremendously successful in just about everything that he's done. So the way that I look at his acquisition is, hey, let's wait and see what he does.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know, let's not go crazy when we don't even know. First of all, he hadn't even bought it yet.
Right. I love when people, I don't want to drag you into this conversation, but I love when people talk about Twitter, Facebook, social media being biased. They're canceling out conservative conversation. Well, what do you think conservative talk radio does around the country? I mean, this is a private business, so anybody can do whatever they want with their medium, correct?
Well, okay, you lead me down a path here.
Sorry.
the real challenge is yes and no. The social media platforms are supposed to be there. First of all, 1791, we're protected in this country to have freedom of speech, okay? What has changed, in my opinion, in over the years, I think the way that people engage one another, I think we have somewhat lost our ability to be able to come together and have civil conversations on very, very differing points of view on a single topic. I think we get frustrated a little too easily sometimes as a society, and especially if you're going back and forth on very, very limited scope of text, that makes it even more difficult. Not to mention the fact, you know as well as I do, Scoot, if you have emails or text messages or commentary on Facebook or any social media platform, Twitter, et cetera, it is very challenging to really read the inflection of the voice person who is typing.
You can't, because written words or text words, words that are in print or written, they don't carry emotion. So, you know, that's a really strong point.
So, you know, I think it's great that we have the ability to voice our opinions. I think it's great that we have a forum for which, or forums, if you will, because it's not just one, but multiple forums where people can exchange ideas. You know, the hope is that we as overall in society is that we're open-minded enough to be able to share ideas. And look, Scoot, you and I probably have very differing points of view on very differing topics, although you and I do appreciate the history of music and rock and roll. I'm open to listen to your points of view, and maybe you'll educate me and turn me around.
Well, and then maybe not.
Those are the kind of things. Well, maybe not.
And Paul, I'm
not going to. go ahead.
No, I didn't mean to drag you down this. I mean, you know, I have natural conversations on this show, and I didn't mean to drag you down this this road that, you know, it's a lot of opinion involved here. But I appreciate what you said so far, and I generally agree with the idea that we need to be able to express ourselves. But let's just talk a little bit something about that's more in your wheelhouse. Let's talk about inflation. This is one of the biggest issues to voters going into the midterms and heading toward the 2024 presidential election. And it looks as if the Feds may do something to try to slow inflation down.
Well, before I wanted to make one other point on Elon Musk before
okay.
we get to inflation. And I know we're running out of time.
No, that's all right.
But I'm almost confident that Elon looked at Twitter as a company, as it operates. And he looked at it and said, okay, in a day and age where tech companies are going through the roof, okay, I'm going to land this plane economically here in a second, but the stock price of Twitter really has not changed that much since it went public. In 2013, it was $44.90 a share, and on April 14th, it was $45.08 a share. So here you have this vast explosion of tech companies with stock valuations through the roof, people making a lot of money. I would venture a guess that Elon Musk is looking at Twitter saying, you know what? There are multiple opportunities to take this. And I think, because I think the way that his mind works, or any entrepreneur, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think I can make that better. I think I can do better. And if I do that, if I can bring that in, just like he's done with everything else, it's already talking about him taking it back public in 3 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So he brings it in. He takes it. He changes the company. However, maybe he runs it into the ground. Maybe he turns it around. And now all of a sudden you have a great opportunity for investment, for people to make money on the buying and selling of Twitter stock 3 to 5 years down the road.
I would not bet against Elon Musk making Twitter better than it is now. And I think one of the things that he wants to do is expand the number of characters in any given post.
Correct. And there was something to do. And look, I'm not great with Twitter. I'm on Twitter, but I'm not great with it. But the ability to edit your post and,
right.
and different things, or edit your tweet and things like that. So there are some changes that he wants to make. But the Federal Reserve, going back to inflation briefly, the Federal Reserve just announced they have increased the Fed funds rate by 50 basis points, putting the Fed funds target rate at a range between 75 basis points and 1%. Okay, so and as you and I have talked before in the past, generally what happens is they do a survey of the 8 to 10 largest banks, and what ultimately happens is Wall Street Journal Prime directly correlates into an increase where currently Wall Street Journal Prime is 3.5%. So tomorrow you're probably going to be looking at Wall Street Journal Prime going to 4%. And what does that mean for the everyday user? All of your variable rate products are now going to adjust. You know, your credit cards, your home equity lines of credit, things like that. But as you've asked me before, what happens? And this was before my time, but what happens if inflation gets to a point of stagflation where people just aren't going to spend the money on the inflated prices associated with the products and services? That I can't answer.
Yeah, there was a tough time, I guess it was the 70s, where we were in stagflation, which was a combination of inflation out of control and a recession. And that was really not... In fact, President Gerald Ford had a whole campaign, had buttons printed up and bumper stickers, and it was WIN. And WIN was an acronym for Whip Inflation Now. Seriously, I don't think it really worked.
You know what's crazy? No, but you know what? If you look at it, there are two job openings for every one person looking for a job right now. There's two openings, so there are.
So what does that tell you about the economy, Paul?
Well, I have this conversation with a lot of different. Obviously, with what I do, I visit with small business owners and things like that. One of the things that with most people and most small business owners are really struggling with is they're trying to figure out, I guess, where has everyone gone?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've talked about that.
Where are, and look, over the last 24 to 36 months, there's been a lot of money that's been pumped into the economy through stimulus and other things, but at some point that's going to run off. So but where are all of these wonderful qualified people that were in the economy, right, prior to the COVID?
Right.
And now all of a sudden we're really challenged in bringing those people back into commerce. So it's there are a lot of questions that still have yet to be answered, and I'm sure that there are people much, much smarter than I having much more detailed conversations with people to try and figure that out.
Well, Paul Myers, I appreciate you being with us, North Shore Market President from Every Bank. Always appreciate your time and your wisdom.
Well, my wisdom is limited, but I always enjoy visiting with you.
Look, on this show, your wisdom is exaggerated, so thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Stu. You have a wonderful day.
All right, Paul, you too.